want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the broadcast. You know, I enjoy doing these podcasts, but it's a war every time I do them. You know, there's an effectual door open onto me, but there are many adversaries. So anyway, let's pray. Father, I give thanks for all men and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable and godly life. I thank you for President Trump, Vice President Vance. I thank you for the House, the Senate, the Congress. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. Father, I thank you that we will not give you rest till you make Israel a praise and honor. I thank God for what God is doing through President Trump and great accomplishments. Thank God. All right. I am going to be talking about the rapture, and I believe I can bring some more clarity to this. And, you know, I want to start off, I want to make something plain that I said last week. I was talking about that we're not made new creatures in Christ immediately. And I've said this many times, and I know what I'm saying is exactly true. It's sound doctrine. But I made this statement that we're not righteous yet. But what I was talking about is in our hearts. Okay, when we receive the Lord, when you and me receive the Lord, we're righteous before God. We're not going to be righteous someday. We are righteous now. Our sins are all paid for, and we're under grace. So just trust God, practice your faith, or we can say keep the words of God. And even though you sin, you're under grace. And if you walk, believe in the gospel, practicing the word of God, you'll be overcoming sin. Okay? You know, Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, is unto all upon all them that believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Okay? Not of works. We don't have to do works. Good works are a result of being spiritually regenerated. Yes, we practice righteousness. The righteous do righteously. Okay? But we don't do it to be saved. We're saved by the grace of God. Okay. Now, let's look at what the Word of God says about the rapture of the church. And I'm going to first take a scripture that ministers use to say we will be raptured before the tribulation. 2 Timothy 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the Lord's coming. And by our gathering together unto him. Now it sounds like being caught up with the Lord. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Won't get into the explanation of that. I don't think it matters right now. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, the day of the Lord coming, except there come a falling away first, and then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this word falling means an apostasy. Okay, notice the gathering of Christ happens at the coming of the Lord. Now, this is one of the scriptures I've heard taught that ministers say shows that the rapture takes place before the tribulation. And I believe that the rapture and the second coming of the Lord are one and the same. Okay, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come, except there come a falling and apostasy away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, there has to be a falling away before the man of sin is revealed. Now, the Greek word for falling means apostasia. It means defection from the faith, from the truth, falling away, forsake, revolt, apostasy from the faith, departure. Now, some ministers have taken this scripture, and those that are, they believe in pre-tribulation rapture, and said that the church departing here, or apostasy, is being raptured. So this scripture is either saying we're going to be raptured before the tribulation or after the tribulation, depending on how you interpret it, okay? So you're going to have to come to one conclusion or the other. Let's read on in verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, this is the man of sin, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Whoever this man is, he's obviously going to be filled with unrighteousness and be taken over by the devil. Remember ye not that as that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Okay, so verse 6 is saying something is withholding or restraining the man of sin from being revealed or going to the temple. So, and it's pretty clear what it's talking about. So is it those in the church that fell away from the faith that allowed the man of sin to be revealed because he's no longer holding, or the church being taken out of rapture, all right, that allowed the man of sin to be revealed? Let's read verse 7 in the Amplified Bible. For the mystery of lawlessness, rebellion against divine authority, and the coming reign of lawlessness is already at work, but it is restrained only until he who now restrains is taken out of the way. So once again, is it the church being raptured or falling away? In either case, the church is no longer holding back the man of sin. See? So which is it? Are they being, did they, because they got raptured, they're not holding back the man of sin, or because they fell away? Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So here it says, when the Lord comes, he will consume or destroy the Antichrist. So to me, you have to twist the scripture to say the falling away was the rapture. Here in these passages, it talks about the coming of the Lord or gathering to him in verse 1. Then in verse 8, it says, when he comes, he will consume or destroy the man of sin at the end of the tribulation. Now, in all fairness, the people that have the pre-tribulation rapture viewpoint will say, well, this chapter is talking about two different times the Lord comes. You know, he comes to gather us, and then he comes at the end to destroy. Now, let me say this. If we could find another scripture about the falling away and the man of sin being revealed, and it told us a specific time frame, that could answer this question right there. Turn to Matthew 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And he was talking about after he left the earth, they were going to come in, and this is talking about Titus coming and destroying the temple of God and everything. Okay. So the disciples are saying, what's going to be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Go to verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Now, if I'm understanding this, this is during the first half of the seven-year tribulation, or the beginning of sorrows. Verse 10 says, then many shall be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Now let's read that verse 10 in the International Standard Version. Then many shall fall away. That word means apostasy. Will betray one another and will hate one another. Let's read that. That was the International Standard Version. Let's read that New International Version. At that time, many shall turn away from the faith and shall betray and hate one another. Now, of course, this makes sense that many are going to fall away from the faith in the beginning of sorrows. Now, go up, or go five more verses, and here the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. Verse 15, when ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So Matthew 24:10 says there's a falling away, then verse 15, the man of sin is revealed. So clearly right here, before the man of sin is revealed, there is an apostasy and a falling away, not the church being raptured, as those that use 2 Timothy 2:3 say. So for all of us who weren't settled on what the falling away meant in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, was it an apostasy from the faith or the church departing or being raptured? Which one? We see here in Matthew 24:10, it settles it. It clearly tells us all right before the man of sin is revealed, there's an apostasy from the faith, And therefore, the very scriptures these ministers used to prove the church was going to be raptured before the tribulation actually proves we're going through the great tribulation. Because there's a falling away from the faith, then the man of sin is revealed. Then when the man of sin is revealed, the great tribulation begins. You know, and I just said about a week or two back that the very scriptures these ministers used to prove we're not going through the great tribulation will most likely prove we are going through it. You know, and I didn't even see this scripture in Matthew 24:10 that was an apostasy. I always read it that many shall be offended. And so I took this scripture about 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and I said, let me look at what they're saying and see if this pans out, if this holds to be true. And I said, this really doesn't prove to me apostasy means the church is caught up. I just don't see that. That's a real stretch to take an apostasy, a falling away, and say that's the Lord, that's the church being raptured. And then when I saw that in Matthew 24:10, there's the falling away. Because I heard this one minister teach that there's no falling away, that's being caught up with the Lord. Well, Matthew 24 says there is a falling away, and then the man of sin is revealed. So anyway, this proves to me that I had the word of God in my mouth when I said the very thing they say is going to prove otherwise. Okay, go to verse 27, Matthew 24. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now go to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Okay, now let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain on the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, dead in Christ, shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay. It doesn't say anything about the air being caught up in the air in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. But we're going to see here in Matthew 24, it talks about being caught up in the air. It doesn't say anything about the trumpet blast in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, but it does here in Matthew 24. Wherefore, comfort one another these words. So we just read the scripture. We're meeting the Lord in the air. Now go to Matthew 24:31, common English Bible. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet. There it is. And they will gather his chosen ones from the four corners of the earth, from one end of the sky to the other. So you got the trumpet blast. You got the Lord coming. Then you got the people being gathered together from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now, this sounds like the people being caught up in the air to meet the Lord, to me. Now, let's look at Mark's account of this event, that we're being gathered together by the four winds from the earth to the heaven. And once again, this is in the context immediately after the great tribulation. Mark 13:27. Then shall he send his angels, shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. So the angels are gathering us from the earth to the heaven. That's being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. All right. Now go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. This is clearly talking about the rapture, folks. This is talking about the Lord coming immediately after the tribulation of those days, as is spoken back in verse 29. Now go to verse 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. If one person is taken, the other left, and this is in the context of being gathered in the sky, then this is clearly the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, that's in the sky, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it's clear to all who see this is the rapture, and it's at the end of the great tribulation. You know, I was willing to be wrong. But the more I study, the more it becomes clear we're going through the Great Tribulation. So to me, and I'm going to continue to look at other areas that these people are using to say the rapture. I just use one right here, and it doesn't pan out to say that. It actually can be proven it's saying that we're going through the Great Tribulation. So anyway, I believe the next thing we need to do as this becomes more and more clear we're going through, is we need to get prepared. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord has come. Let's go ahead and take a break. Let's do a song. Let's do He is Jehovah by Pamela Pontia.
He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
God that healeth thee.
He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son He sent to you and testified of Him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God.
Okay, now turn to Daniel 12. We'll look at other scriptures they say that are used for the pre-tribulation rapture. Verse 1, contemporary English verse. Michael, the chief of the angels, is the protector of your people. And he will come at the time of terrible suffering, the worst of all history. And your people who had their names written in the book of life will be protected. King James said they'll be delivered. Okay, and this is where they say the rapture is going to come right then, when that great time, and they're saying it's coming before. They're saying this happens, and then the people are taken up. It actually says here it's happening after, but they'll take that to say that. But anyway, well, let's go on. Many of those who lie dead in the ground will rise from death. Some of them will be given eternal life. Others will receive nothing but eternal shame and disgrace. Now that's the Lord coming, the dead being raised to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, and then the judgment. Okay, so verse 1 is talking about the terrible suffering, worst in all history, which signifies the great tribulation. Then verse 2, dead people being raised alive. This is the dead in Christ being raised to meet the Lord. Now, the Christians whose name are written in the book of life will be protected during this time. And this word protected means rescued or delivered. Now, here again, this scripture can be interpreted two ways. Some interpret this to mean the people of God are delivered or rescued by being taken out of the earth by the rapture. Others interpret this to mean we're protected during the Great Tribulation. Let's read on and see what it's saying. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they will turn many to righteous as the stars forever and ever. So this verse, these wise people who turn many to righteous are still here. They weren't taken, so the rapture hadn't happened yet. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. Then said one man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Let's read this New Living Translation. One of them asked the man dressed in linen, who was now standing above the river, how long shall it be until these shocking events are over? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which is upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. Then shall be accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. Okay, this is the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And this is all going to be finished after they scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. Now I'm just going to read the last part of verse 7 in different translations. When the breaking of the holy people, a holy people's power is over, all these things will be over. Common English Bible. Everything will be over when the suffering of God's holy people comes to an end. Contemporary Englishman. Now, what does the New Testament say is the sufferings of Christ that we as Christians go through? Where it's clearly, it's going through temptation, fiery trials. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also of exceeding joy. Okay, the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed when he comes to get us. And if you persevere through the fiery trials, the trying of your faith, you will be glad with exceeding joy. So what is the purpose of fiery trials? Well, it's clearly to purify us. And as the devil comes after us, it's a fiery trial. You know, when you refine silver or gold, the heat causes the impurity to come to the surface. Likewise, when we're going through the fiery trials, the iniquity of our heart comes to the surface. And then it can be removed. Once gold or silver is refined, the refiner, who in this case is the Lord Jesus Christ, can see his own image in the gold or silver or in the hearts of God's people. So the Lord refines us by leading us through fiery trials till he can see his own images. And he also uses this process to transform us. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us on to eternal glory by Christ, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. As we resist the devil steadfast in faith, you will be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. Now go back to Daniel 12. And I heard, but I understood not. That's verse 8. Oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed the time in. Many will be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked will do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, you see the purpose of us going through the great tribulation is to purify us. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that's verse 11, and the abomination shall make desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So this is the time of the great tribulation. It'll begin and we must persevere for 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Let's read that, Daniel 12 in the New International. Blessed is the one who perseveres and attains the 1,335 days. Matthew 24:13, International Standard Verse. But the person who endures the end will be saved. Okay. Now I want to comfort God's people. The Word of God talks about how God will not let us be tempted above what we can handle. If you don't have, and for those of you that don't have a heart to persevere through the tribulation and go into perfection, the Lord will just let you die, you know, and go to be with him. Now, I know that sounds terrible, but, you know, if it's a quick death and painless, you're immediately asleep in Christ. You know, I've heard testimonies where people of God would sit back in their easy chair and you know, just pass away peacefully. How many people have you ever heard? Well, they were by one of their loved ones and they died peacefully. Well, that's not a horrible thing, you know? And I mean, if you can't handle the pressure, if you can't handle the fiery trials, you can't go through it. If you don't have a heart to go through it, God can just let you pass away and go be with him. And then he'll resurrect you and you'll meet the Lord in the air with the rest of God's saints, you know? So, you know, you're either going to die prior to the tribulation, during the tribulation, or you're going to have to persevere through it and not fall away to go to be with the Lord. Okay. So, if you are walking with the Lord, put your trust in God. He knows what you can handle. He knows, all your members are written in the book. It's not like you've got to be some super saint to go be with him. If you can't handle it, he knows it. And he will just take you to be with him. If you can handle it, then he'll let you go through it. It's in the hands of God. So just put your trust in the Lord. So right before the coming of the Lord, there'll be, let me say this, there will also be the strongest people that ever walked the earth. You can find that in Joel 2. Their souls will be restored. The Spirit of God will be poured out upon them. And they will go forth like a mighty army in the earth. And a great salvation will break forth all over the earth. And God's people will have everlasting joy upon them as they overcome. So, you need to look at fear this way. Fear is your enemy. Faith is your friend. So resist fear and keep your profession of faith out there. And as you do, you'll overcome the fear. And let me tell you this, the more sin you get purified out of your heart before the great tribulation, the better off you'll be. Okay? See, this is why you want to walk this way. You know, Jesus said in, it's written about the Lord in, I think it's the fifth chapter of Ephesians, that he's going to present unto himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Okay? So he's going to purify his people before that. And if you get a revelation of people that are purified, that have a revelation of the gospel, who are walking in the Spirit, they're walking in great power, folks. That was the people in the book of Acts. Jesus said to them, now are you clean through the word I've spoken unto you. They had a revelation of the gospel. They were waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They received the Spirit of God. They spoke in other tongues. And then they were walking in power. All right? So if you say, oh, well, we're already purified, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Well, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in faith and in the Spirit and in power? If you're not, you haven't come to that place yet. All right? So I know there's other scriptures people are going to use to say the rapture comes. I only covered a few of them in this podcast. And I'm willing to go back and keep looking at other areas where they're saying the tribulation is, we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. But every place I look, I don't see that. All right. Just like the Lord's coming at the end after he's delivered up the kingdom to the Father. And that's talking about, that's in the context of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where we're going to be raised from the dead at the coming of the Lord. And it also says the last trump is going to sound, and then you go look at the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation. It's at the end of the tribulation. It also references the kingdoms of this world have all become the kingdoms of our God. So there again, it points to the end of the tribulation. So I'll look at this in every area. I just do not see pre-tribulation. Everywhere I look, I do not see it. I see us going through the tribulation. I think it's very clear in the 24th chapter of Matthew. I believe it's clear in 1 Corinthians 15. It's clear in Revelations 11. Everywhere I look, it's clear. Okay, So if you believe the scriptures, even if you don't, even if you believe in pre-tribulation, you know we're in perilous times and you should want to be as strong as you can. And also the parable of the virgins are those whose lamps are full of oil, and that's full of the Spirit. And I've taught the Luke 5:37 about the new bottles can stay filled with the Spirit once they've been transformed. That new bottle is the new man. And once the new man's been built, he can hold the Spirit. And the old man, as he's being broken and the Spirit keeps leaking out. I believe these are people that have been prepared to hold the Spirit in Matthew 25, the virgins. So it all fits together. So the only thing I can say is if you still don't, you're still not convinced that we're going through the tribulation, you still should want to get strong for the days we're in. We're in perilous times. You still want to get your heart purified and get ready. If you believe we're going to get caught up before the Lord comes, well, you want to get that your heart rebuilt so it can hold the Spirit. And I've taught this many times. It's the parable of the bottles. The new man is the new bottle. The old man is the old bottle. You get that new man formed and you get rid of the old man, the old bottle. It's Luke 5:37-39. Then you can hold the Spirit. You'll be ready for the coming of the Lord. Okay, so there's evil being raised up in the earth, but also the body of Christ is being raised up in the earth. Okay, so yes, the tribulation does talk about hard times, the fire trial. See, and let me say this also, folks, there's already many of us in the earth that experienced the fiery trials. We've experienced the devil tempting us. We've experienced when the devil tries to put sickness on you, that's a fiery trial. By his stripes you were healed. You got to stand fast and resist that. The devil's tempted us with all kinds of, he's tempted us with believing that we're going to hell. We've had to stand steadfast in the faith and believe, no, our sins are forgiven. That's a fiery trial. Many of us experienced many fiery trials and stood against the devil steadfast in the faith. So we've already experienced what the great tribulation is going to be like. Not to the intensity of it, maybe not to the full blown how hard it can get. Well, sure, we haven't. But I'm just saying, many of us already know how to resist the devil steadfast in the faith and how to overcome. Many of us have done that and seen how we got more established in the faith as the devil came against us. So there's those of us that we can help you, and we're here to help you. And that's what we want to do, is we want to turn around. You know, Peter, Jesus said, talking about going through temptation, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So there's those of us that after we've walked through some of this stuff and we got converted, we got established in faith, we want to turn right around and help those of you that are going through fiery trial. So some of you that are new in the faith, you start going through temptations. These things can really put fear on you. The devil will come and tell you you're going to hell if you sin. You know, oh, the devil will tempt you and say, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And there's those of us, we went through that temptation. We can show you, no, you haven't. We'll show you how to resist that steadfast faith. Those of you who've been tempted with this, tempted with that, we're here to help you. So, and we'll help you be converted. We'll help you stand. We'll teach you, we'll minister to you the faith and show you how to stand in faith in the gospel and walk through these things and get you through this. So that's what we're here for. So I have some experience in this area. I've been converted to a degree, not totally. I've been purified to a degree, not totally. But I'm established in the faith to a good degree. And I want to turn around and help those of you that are still being tossed by these spirits. And some of you don't even know that you're being pressured by the devil. You feel pressure on you. You feel fear on you. You're being tossed by different winds of doctrine. You don't know these are spirits. And, you know, my prayer is that God will open your eyes and see your adversary, the devil. And don't be, See, this helped me many years ago when I saw, be sober, be vigilant, you know, because your adversary, the devil, is coming at you as a roaring lion, whom resists steadfast in faith. And I got a revelation of that, and I said, oh, wow, as I'm resisting him, I'm being perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. I said, this is working for my good. So that was a little bit of a comfort. It didn't take away the suffering I was going through, because when the devil comes against you, you're going to suffer. But as you get, as it establishes you, strengthen you, then your heart will begin to go, oh, it's getting better. I'm not being tossed as much as I used to. I'm not being thrown all over the place. And, you know, and then I saw, oh, the fiery trials. It says, rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. That's being tried by the devil. He comes after us. Well, I was being purified. And I began to stand steadfast in the faith. And I said, oh, these iniquities are being purified out of me. So I tell the devil, oh, well, you just go ahead and you just keep coming after me. I'm getting purified. You keep coming after me. I'm being established in the faith. And it was coming to pass exactly what the Word of God was saying. Okay, so those of you, whether you believe you're going through the tribulation or not, you're going to go through the sufferings of Christ. All right? The Great Tribulation is just a continuance of that, and much, much more so. And what's going to happen is many people are going to be forced to, oh, I better pray. I better read. Some of you have been lukewarm. Some of you have not been pressing into the kingdom. Some of you have not been laying down your life. Some of you were coasting along and just thinking, well, you know, the Lord, I'm saved. I have eternal life and I'm going to go be with the Lord. Some of you are you're going to see, I got to get ready for his coming. Whether I'm going through the tribulation or not, I got to get ready for his coming. If you believe that he's coming after a bride without spot or wrinkle, if you believe that the 10 virgins, the 5 that were wise were those that had their lamps full, and get a revelation what that means, then you'll start getting prepared. So I think it's clear that we're going through the tribulation. Whether you still are not convinced yet, that's okay. That's all right. I'm not here to tear down your doctrine. I'm here except for to build up build you up in what the Word of God does say. In other words, I don't want to tear down. Yes, I am tearing down that doctrine of preacher, but let's get it right. But only to establish you in the faith, not to tear it down and leave you hanging. All right? I want to build you up. I want to tell you that the Lord will get you ready for that day. But if you're not convinced, keep on walking in what you're walking in. Keep getting ready for the coming of the Lord. We're up to 34 minutes plus the song. This is good. You know, I hear people saying, oh, you got to make your message shorter, you know, because people's attention span. Well, I know what you're saying. And I'll probably put some little short. I'm going to start putting some little short clips together in videos so I can put them on TikTok and some of these others that just give little bits, tad bits of truth, little nuggets of truth here and there. To help people, to show people the love of God, to show people the ways of God. You know, I will tell you this. As we're being transformed and becoming new creatures in Christ, it says that in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, the love of Christ constraineth. The word constraineth means controls. The more the Lord sets you free and makes a new creature out of Christ, a new creature in Christ out of us, the more we will be controlled by the love of God. It's a great way to live. I used to be controlled by the devil through iniquity. The more God sets me free, the more I become a partaker of the divine nature, the more I'm controlled by the love of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. God is love. He is love. And folks, don't be deceived. You don't want to live in sin and have more sin conceived in your heart and be controlled by the devil. Oh, he can make it. There's pleasure in sin for a little while, but it gets real ugly the more you see it and the more you see that sin in you. And it's so wonderful to get free from sin and be filled with the divine nature of God and be controlled by the love of God. That's all I've got for today's podcast. If there's anybody out there that you've never been saved or never been born again, They mean the same thing. I can show you scriptures. They interlock this. And they all are all a process. I can show you salvation is a process. I can show you being born again is a process. The washing of rebirth and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's one right there. So anyway, you want to be saved? You want to be born again? Start a work of grace in your life? Just say this prayer. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So say this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I call upon your name, Lord. I call out to you. I want you. You got to mean this with your heart. You got to want to receive the Lord. You got to want to be saved. You can't just go through the motion. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I confess that you died, you were buried, you were raised from the dead. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus was raised from the dead, believe in the heart that God, confess the Lord Jesus, believe he was raised from the dead, shall be saved. So right now, if you said that prayer, Spirit of Christ has entered into you. You're ready to walk with the Lord. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.